Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, y'all. I'm back. Okay, I don't know exactly what happened other than I think I accidentally went live for 15 minutes instead of my full time, which is actually a block of 3 hours. And I'm not going to stay on that long, so don't worry. But I have never done that before. And you know what I find so funny and interesting is because I was literally talking about all these different religions and just different things for a minute, I just think it's super shady that this is the one chance or the one time that that's ever happened. So I find that really interesting. I feel like it's like, I don't know, like a little bit of, you know, the darkness coming through or something. I don't know. It sounds so weird, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I just feel like that was kind of like very strange. Anyway, so if you missed this the first 15 minutes, it was actually really, really good. And I talked about like things that are going on this week. I had a guy released from the hospital, had ivermectin, like doing super well now, and had been very anxious and very scared, several different pulmonary embolisms and DVTs and just all sorts of things, COVID, I mean, you name it. And it was a big challenge. And so he is doing much, much better. He was, you know, days or minutes from a ventilator. And we had a chance to be able to give him some ivermectin. And so great that we were able to do that. And we have access to some FLCCC doctors that are amazing that have been helping and working with us. And so if you need access to medication or just telehealth visits or whatever, let me know so that I can pair you up with someone who can help you. As far as dangerous freedom goes, we were talking about just where we're at in this state of the nation with the tyranny and the fear and all the things that we can look at and think, oh, my gosh, if this is it, then we're really in for it, right? Like, it doesn't look hopeful when you're looking at this world and kind of where we're headed. I know a lot of people who are afraid, you know, we're in the end times. We need to prep because Lord knows we might not be able to work or buy food or whatever the situation is. The mark of the beast is headed this way. I know a lot of people are having these discussions on a very regular basis, whether or not that's, you know, because this and that. I've heard the palm scan. I've heard, like, the vaccine. I've heard the RFID chip. I've heard, is it this or that? Is it the nanotechnology that's in some of the testing that they're finding? And, oh, man, like, I don't know. And I don't have any solid answers on any one thing other than I do believe that the mark is something that you'll have to accept and take and if you choose to. And so I do think it will end up being a choice. I don't think it will be forced necessarily. But who knows except, you know, God and whatever the Bible says I believe to be true. So other than that, I know a lot of people are concerned, you know, just about the end times, or they're concerned about what they're seeing in this world. And I was just calling us to, like, a conversation about, you know, what is after this? Is there hope? Like, is there more than just this life? Because if there's not, then it doesn't look, you know, very hopeful. And we have to have hope. We have to, because we have to keep on fighting and we have to keep surviving and everything. And I think with Jesus, we have hope. And so it's Easter. So happy Easter. If you guys missed my first 15 minutes, like I said, please catch it. But if you, you know, if you don't, it's okay. It's just, I did a really good job. I'm like stumbling over my words right now, but I did a great job earlier. And I think like Satan pretty much intervened and tried to cut it off, but we're back. So we're not going to let him win. I will say that one of my friend's little sons almost committed suicide this past week. And she's a very, very good friend of mine from this freedom movement. And I just, you know, my heart is breaking for them. Like, this is just what the kids are going through. They're separated and segregated sometimes. They're treated differently if they can't wear a mask or if they choose, you know, not to be vaccinated at this point. People are just treating others with so much discrimination and with hate. And it's heartbreaking that these kids have been separated because of COVID or because they're treated differently because of medical decision-making and different things like that. Like, sometimes not even of their own accord, right? Like, their parents just decided, like, I don't want my kid wearing a mask all day. So, like, they went and got a doctor's note, or maybe they have a medical reason or whatever is going on. But the point is, like, people are treating others differently. They're starting to you know, and just even with COVID, like not connecting has been a huge factor in so many people being on antidepressants and anxiety medications. More than any other medication this past year has skyrocketed. Many, many doctors that I've heard from have said they haven't prescribed anything but those. Like that's just been the main things. People are just trying to get through this time where they haven't connected with others in person for a long time because they were afraid. You know, they're scared and like maybe they weren't in school, so they weren't connecting and Zoom only does so much. Anyway, what a mess. So it's just heartbreaking because when your 11-year-old almost commits suicide, like it's a real eye opener and it's just, and suicides have skyrocketed this past year to abhorrent levels. I can't even tell you, like just so many. And if you do any research on it, you'll be absolutely disgusted. And so I think that people are not hopeful. People are wondering, maybe questioning, you know, is this it? Is this really it? And even I have felt that way before, and I know better because I know, you know, God exists, and I know that Jesus came, and I know that we have heaven to look forward to, but you just get stuck in that rut, right, where you're showing up, and you're going to work, and you're just doing this thing, or you're mom, and it's like 24/7, and you're up at night, or you're not sleeping, or you're sleeping too much, or you just don't want to wake up, and you don't want to get out of bed. Maybe you've lost a family member or a loved one, a spouse, maybe someone has walked away from the family or just whatever the situation is, you know. And so many people are going through suffering, heartache, loss in so many different ways. And I just wanted to tell you that, you know, I'm sorry. We're here for you if you want to reach out. But I do believe that there's hope. I do believe that there's more than this life. And I hope that you do too, because I find peace in that. And people have asked me time and time and time again, how, Lori, do you have peace right now? How in the world do you have any peace? Because it is tumultuous. It is like traumatic. It is very up and down. Like 1 minute we're doing great. The next minute, you know, 1 minute we're taking off our masks. The next minute, like nobody can walk in certain stores because they're so tyrannical still. Or, you know, 1 minute our governor's saying one thing, like, oh, you're going to have free choice of vaccines. And the next minute we hear, oh, Houston Methodist this week is forcing all their employees to take a vaccine or lose their job. It's like, whoa, you know? So 1 minute we're like, oh, we're doing really great. And the next minute you're like, so it's a lot of ups and downs. This week we got, you know, some meta-analysis back from ivermectin saying that, you know, really, really amazing results. And then all of a sudden the WHO is like, oh, we don't recommend ivermectin for COVID-19. You're like, wait, what? So it's like this up and down in this, and it's the sea. It's like a choppy sea, right? Like, so like out in the ocean, like just picture yourself, like no floaties, nothing to hold on to, like no life raft, right? And we're just kind of like bobbing in the water. And then all of a sudden there's like, you know, it's calm and you're like, okay, like we're good, you know? And then all of a sudden there's like a wave that just keeps hitting over your head and you're like, I feel like the waves are crashing sometimes, you know, faster than we can recover. And it's just really frustrating. So when I feel that way in life, whether it's because I'm, you know, overwhelmed at home or work or, you know, motherhood or whatever it is, you know, even just wanting to help people and not only being one person enough, you know, to help, and just, there's always more to do than I can even accomplish, right? And I feel, you know, like I'm never doing enough sometimes, and even though I do a lot. I literally advocate for people sometimes all the way to work, all the way home after like 17-hour day or 14-hour days. And it's literally, and like I'll get home, like I'll leave at 5 a.m. and I won't get home until 9:30 sometimes. And it can be really brutal on people who are working long hours and you get tired or tempted or whatever's going on to think, is this really it? Is this really all there is? Like we're just working ourselves to the bone just to barely make paychecks, to barely pay our houses, and like, and then what, you know? And so like, I just want to tell you that there is hope. I really do find peace in God. I find peace in the fact that I don't have to earn my way to heaven by being good. And I hope that you have that peace and that you know that Jesus really is different than every other prophet and every other person or God, you know, that has been said to exist. And it is different because there's mercy and grace and kindness and unconditional love. And it's not your goodness that gets you into heaven. It's the fact that you're willing to accept the fact that he gave his life for you. And there's nothing that you could have done to deserve that, but just, you know, say yes and accept it. And I just remember that one day that I realized that, like, no matter what I did, like, Jesus loved me just the same. It was, like, eye-opening, jaw-dropping. Like, you just felt like it matters what you do, but it doesn't. It's like, but not because you're not getting into heaven because you're so great, right? Like, it's just, it's so amazing the fact that, like, you didn't even deserve that. You didn't, and so you want to do what his will is and what he wants because you knew that you didn't deserve it. And anyway, I hope that you guys have that peace. I hope that you have that peace. And if you don't, then a lot of times you're tossed by the wind and the waves that are coming. And that's the thing that the Bible says is, like, when you're growing up spiritually, you won't be as tossed by the waves and the wind as much anymore. And so that's what I mean by, like, being spiritually grounded is you're always having that life raft to hold on to. So that when these hard times come, and they will, they're going to come in the form of cancer. They're going to come in the form of loss. They're going to come in the form of job loss, you know, or whatever's coming down the road that we just can't see. Like, I know someone who can see that. I know God. So that's how I have that peace is, like, well, no matter what happens, like, I know I'm going to be okay. I know that my kids are going to be okay because in the end, we weren't meant for this life. We were actually meant to live forever and be in eternity where there is no cancer and suffering and dying and there is no tears and crying and pain. And so, like, to get there sooner is not the end of the world, right? Like, it's actually the beginning of eternity. So it's a beautiful thing. It's hard because, of course, do I want my kids to grow up and get married and, like, have this life here too? Yes and no. I mean, honest to God, it really depends on what kind of life they're going to have here. But on the other hand, of course, right? Like, I'm human and I love my kids and I want to be around for them and I want them to be around forever and ever. And, you know, you have that longing for more. But just know that you can have peace in the midst of chaos. You can have peace in the midst of COVID. You can have whatever hard circumstance that you're going through, and there always is hope. Please, please, please reach out and talk to somebody. Me, anybody else, like Lori Jean, the nurse advocate, is how you can find me on Telegram. Just look up Lori Jean, L-O-R-I-J-E-A-N, and find me, or look up the nurse advocate on Telegram. Go find United States for Medical Freedom and try to reach out on Telegram. I have a MeWe. All these different things, please, please, please reach out. Do not go to bed, you know, feeling hopeless or make a permanent decision based on temporary feelings. You know, I mean, feelings are going to come and go. Waves are going to come and go. And I just pray because your families need you. Your friends need you. There are people who love you. Please don't give up hope because it was heartbreaking to hear about this 11-year-old trying to commit suicide this week, you guys. Heartbreaking where our kids are at right now, adults are at right now. I mean, just so much. So, and if you know someone who's struggling, pray for them, you know, ask God to help them, reach out and see what you can do for them and just be a light in this darkness. We need more light. We absolutely need more light. So this week in Freedom World, many of you guys know that Fauci just continues to say, wear more masks, you know, get the vaccine, but then there's really no reward in getting the vaccine because he says you're still going to have to wear masks, you're still going to have to socially distance. So like Senator Rand Paul called him out on it and said, like, you got to give these people some, like, reward, right? Like, there's got to be some end in sight for people to be motivated to want to get this vaccine. And I just thought it was really ironic or funny or whatever because, you know, there are a lot of people who don't want to get this vaccine. Even people who are totally for vaccines are like, this one is just the one. I want to wait and see kind of like how it goes, right? Because it's newer technology, it's mRNA instead of DNA. I mean, for whatever reason, right? There's been quite a few deaths. I think I saw something, you know, with miscarriages going up like 300 or 400% as far as like, you know, deaths just in the past 9 months or a year. You know, more than any other previous years in the 10 years, past 10 years. But that's also if theirs is accurately reported, which Harvard says it's not. It's only 1%. So 99 times that would definitely be more than what we've experienced in the past few years. So I don't necessarily agree with that stat. But the point is that it's increasing. People are starting to recognize that reactions are happening more, which is a good recognition because I think they've been happening more often for quite a while and we've been missing it somehow. I don't think that the hospitals are accurately reporting when something is a vaccine injury, and I don't think they're educated very well on how to report those things or what to be looking for. But that's also just, you know, based on that study as well as just my own personal experience. I know people will say, oh, like, yeah, I think they just had the COVID vaccine and they had this situation happen or something. And then I'm like, I'm wondering, like, did it get, like, reported? Like, did anybody actually go to the trouble of reporting it? Or even did they, were they aware that this was actually a vaccine injury? Sometimes people don't put two and two together. I know it sounds kind of silly, but they don't put two and two together and think, oh, this is definitely what caused it. And I think sometimes people want to protect vaccines so much that they're kind of ignoring what is actually happening sometimes because they don't want to admit that reactions can even happen. They're like, oh, no, it's safe for everyone at all times or always safe and effective. It's like, come on, like nothing is safe for everyone at all times. There's nothing, like not even Tylenol, y'all. Like, you know what I mean? Like Motrin or ibuprofen, whatever, you know, that's not even safe for all people at all times. Like if you have kidney issue, if you have bleeding ulcers, you know, if you have all these different things going on, like those would not be safe indications for taking certain meds or liver function failure. Like you wouldn't want to go take a Tylenol. So it's just, it's shocking to me that anyone would think like, oh yeah, like same medicine for every single one in the population, no matter what. That's never been medicine's goal. Medicine, in my experience in nursing school, has always been, hey, like, we want to tailor this to the individual. And even now, it's much more individualized medicine than it ever has been. And I think that's one thing that will be working for us in the future is, like, we are supposed to tailor the care plan to the individual. We are supposed to be tailoring the medications and the plan of care, like all surrounding encompassing plan of care to that one specific individual with those, with a specific history and a specific, you know, lab work and a specific, you know, scenarios. Like they have to always be tailored to the individual. So I just hope that people will continue to think that way because it's very important. Because we all do come from different genetics and different backgrounds and different belief systems. And we're like, you know, no one is exactly the same as anyone else, right? It's kind of like snowflakes. Like every snowflake like makes snow and it like makes the ground look beautiful. But if you have, you know, a microscope and you check the water droplet of each snowflake, you'll actually find that each snowflake is different. And even though they make like the same picture in all over the world, right? Like when you see snowfall, you just see snow on the ground and you're like, cool. But you would think that all of them are exactly the same, right? Because they make like the same picture, but that's not true. They're all different. They're like fingerprints. Every single one of them is different and they might be similar, but they're different. So I just find it fascinating that we think that, you know, one specific one size fits all medicine is going to be effective. And I've always been that way because there are genetic, you know, mutations and deficiencies. There's, you know, histories to take into account, all these different things. So I just hope that we can continue to change the thinking back towards individualized medicine and focusing on the patient's rights, because you as patients or you as, you know, essentially consumers, like you're doing business with a hospital, even though you don't realize it. You're doing business because they are a business. I mean, that's a fact. Even if they're a nonprofit, they're still a business. And at the end of the day, their bottom line matters to them very, very much. And if you chose to go to a different hospital, because let's say this hospital doesn't respect your choices and your freedoms, and other hospitals do, then you would want to take your money and your care and your, you know, whatever to a hospital that does respect your wishes and does want to do the things that you're asking or not force you to do what you don't want, right? You'd want to go to a place where you can trust them and you can feel like, okay, like they, you know, they're going to help me. They're going to want to do what's best for me and they're not going to force me to do something I don't want to do or whatever, whether it's for yourself or your kids or whatever. So my point is like we are voting with our dollars and we're voting with where we go. And that's with grocery stores. That's with, you know, the places that we go and support right now in this economy. Are we supporting just big business? Are we supporting small businesses? Are we helping out those freedom-friendly places that have been willing to allow for medical exemptions, or are we going and supporting the places that have been hammering on people and saying, like, no, you can't come in if you don't have a mask, or if you don't have the vaccine, or if you don't have this or that? You know, so, like, those would go out of business if we all took our business elsewhere to the places that respected individuality in medicine and autonomy and choices in medicine. And so, like, we have to just remember our power as the people, because we really are voting with our dollars. So as far as this week in freedom fighting goes, there is a website that I was going to take y'all to if you guys are at a computer or on a phone. Hang on just one second. Let me pull it up and make sure it's right. Website. Okay, so this week I was on a phone call with Dr. Pierre Corey, who is the leader of the FLCCC. And many of you guys know the FLCCC at this point, especially if you've been listening for any length of time. But for those of you who may be new, the FLCCC is Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance. So the FLCCC is a lot of doctors. Many of them are critical care specialists. They are intensivists. They are specialists in their field, pulmonologists. You know, and that's what a critical care intensivist is. They're a pulmonologist as well as critical care medicine doctors. And these are people that I'm around all the time, y'all, because I work in ICU, right? So the point is that FLCCC had a call today. I mean, not today, excuse me. It was the other day, but it was this week, and just really discussing the frustration of Dr. Pierre Corey and the team, Paul Malik, and a whole bunch of other doctors that are amazing. One of whom I work with a lot, and we actually refer people to each other because he refers people to me who need help in advocacy and people who, like, having trouble navigating, like, the medical system and just need somebody to go to bat for them, basically, and help the family versus me trying to refer people to him to try to see if they can gain access to medications that they need or telehealth visits and things like that over the phone. One second. I'm so sorry. I got to drink some water. Ooh, I have like a little coughing fit, y'all. Hang on. Okay. So here's what I want to tell you. There was something that came out this week called a meta-analysis. And I hope that you guys know a little bit about research. Oh, my goodness. Hang on. Every time someone coughs, my husband and I go, Corona, like, as a joke. He's not in here, but I could totally hear him saying, Corona. Oh, my goodness. Because, you know, like, coughing existed before coronavirus, but now all of a sudden everyone's so terrified of Corona that, like, they freak out when someone coughs. It's like, you know, when something just goes down the wrong pipe and you're like, no, I'm not sick. I'm just like, you know, I just swallowed into like my lung. Sorry. Anyway. Okay. So there's a website that's going to talk to us about a meta-analysis. So a meta-analysis is where they take lots of different studies that have been happening. Okay. And in this case, they took 49 studies. And they analyzed all of these studies, and some of them, I think about half of them, or a little bit over half of them, were randomized controlled trials, which is, like, really good. So randomized controlled trials. You want it to be random. You want it to be controlled, all these different things, right? So there's 49 studies that were put together, thousands of participants analyzed, over 15,000, almost 16,000. So lots of data, okay, and data is very, very important. It's not just a couple hundred people. This is like 16,000 people's worth of data, and it's important to know. So 49 different studies were looked at, and they basically did a meta-analysis of ivermectin. And why is this important? The reason it's important is because they looked at all these places in the world, not just the U.S., not just Africa, like lots of places throughout the world, all kinds of people, all different, you know, tongues, like all different backgrounds, all different colors, like amazing, all different cultures, okay? And what's so cool is, hang on just one second. Okay, so what's so cool about this is they came up with the information of how it would be effective. Sorry, I'm like stumbling over my words because I'm also reading, and the way that it was worded was just kind of funny. Let me read this to you. One, so go to this website, okay, if you guys can. I as in ice cream, V as in Victor, M as in mom, M as in mom, so I-V-M-M-E-T-A, okay, so I-V-M-M-E-T-A, that stands for ivermectin meta. So IVMMETA, IVMMETA.com, okay? Go there. It says ivermectin is effective for COVID-19. And here's the real-time meta-analysis of 49 different studies, okay? So this tells you the data and the information. If you're a medical professional, if you're a doctor, if you're a nurse, if you want to be educated on, you know, the latest and greatest of ivermectin and why it's effective, and all the stuff and what they have analyzed throughout these 49 studies and what they found, this is where you want to go. Okay, so it's 80% improvement is an early treatment. That's no shock. If you get started early in your treatment, we all know that people fare better. So, and also if your prophylaxis, which just means before you get sick, 89% of people are doing great and like don't even get sick. Essentially, so prophylaxis, 90%. Early treatment is 80%. Later treatment is still 50%. Mortality rate goes down by 76%. Random controlled trials only looks at a 70% improvement. All the studies together, it's almost 75%. So what I want to tell you is that it's really, really significant. Like, this is significant. And they analyzed all of the studies for COVID, for ivermectin helping COVID. And the results are shocking. Here's what I want to tell you. So you look at all of the studies and you go down to the results. It says 49 out of 49, the percentage of studies reporting positive effects, every single stage of treatment was 100%. So every single study showed that it was effective in some form or fashion. So the effects were either 80%, there were 50% improvement, 90% improvement, 75% improvement. The point is it was effective in every single trial. It may or may not have been 100% effective for everyone at all times, but it was improving every single time, whether it was early treatment, late treatment, prophylaxis, in all of the studies that showed improvement. And here's the real kicker, and this is my favorite part, and I hope you guys repeat it to everyone, okay? It's the probability that an ineffective treatment generated results as positive as the 49 studies to date is estimated to be 156. Sorry, I always say this number wrong. I'm so sorry. It's so big. Okay, the probability that an ineffective treatment generated results as positive as these 49 studies to this date is estimated to be 1 in 563 trillion. So what this says to you is the probability that, you know, ivermectin is not going to help is 1 in 563 trillion. I'm sorry, I say the number wrong all the time. It's something that's like a bad, you know, thing I can't like stop. The probability that it's not going to work is 1 in 563 trillion, like, or that something would be more effective, essentially. The probability, it's like, it's so effective and it's working so much that the data shows that it is literally all of the studies together, the probability of an equal or greater percentage of positive results from an ineffective treatment. I know it's worded super weird and super scientific, and I'm very sorry, so let me break it down for you. Ready? The chances of ivermectin not helping COVID-19 is 1 in 563 trillion. The chances of ivermectin not helping COVID-19 is one in 563 trillion. That's a chance I'd like to take, y'all. I mean, if you're going to Vegas, like, you want that. Those odds are great. And that's whether you're early outpatient, I mean, early treatment, you know, your late treatment, your prophylaxis, your, you know, just any of the above. And it goes into all the data and all the details and all the things. And is it 100% perfect? No. Like, there, I'm sure there's been still some issues. What I have seen, though, and I have literally seen with my own eyes, is people have been on death's door. I'm not even joking, y'all. Death's door. And they literally got ivermectin. Like, we pushed hospitals sometimes, like, 4 weeks, and they said no. And then all of a sudden, this person got ivermectin, and literally within two or three doses was COVID negative and, like, turned things around and got to go on a trach and then go home. And literally is being looked at by all of these doctors right now who think that he is a walking miracle. And he very well may be. Like, maybe God just healed him, right, and didn't have anything to do with ivermectin. However, we gave ivermectin. He literally started turning around, and I kid you not, like, night and day. And now he really believes that that's what turned things around. And so do I. It literally was a godsend. It was literally amazing. And just the fact that he's being looked at by so many doctors right now to kind of figure out why he's doing so well, because somebody who's been on a ventilator for 2 months, you guys, usually doesn't make it. They usually don't make it with COVID, and they would have long-term lung damage. Like, they would sound like they've been on a ventilator, and he doesn't sound like that, they say. All the pulmonologists and the critical care specialists are, like, shocked, and they said when they look at his lungs, he has no damage. He doesn't have any pliability issues because we know that COVID causes stiff lungs. He doesn't have any of those things. He doesn't have any long-term damage or scarring or sound or just anything. He literally looks like he's never been sick. It's amazing. And I'm not saying that ivermectin does that for every single person every time, but what I will say is that every single person that we have been able to advocate for who has received ivermectin, whether that's prophylaxis or at late stages, hospital treatments, early outpatient, you know, somebody got to go home, somebody didn't get to go home, every person who has received ivermectin, as far as my advocacy work goes, has survived, every single one of them. The people who have been lost are the people who were denied ivermectin in the hospitals, and we tried to fight for many of them to get it, and the hospitals said no. And the family had the option to take it to court, and they chose not to, or it was just the timing was going to take too long, and the person was lost in the meantime, or whatever happens. But it's super, super, super frustrating that they're, you know, they're so willing to let them try remdesivir and, you know, convalescent plasma and things that don't have long-term studies. And those things have not been on the market forever and ever. I mean, we have more data on ivermectin than we do on that. And yes, we've been using ivermectin for 30 years for a different purpose, but we can repurpose it. We can repurpose a drug that we have FDA approval on and or use it off-label. Like, we do off-label all the time. Like, who are we kidding to act like we don't prescribe things for other purposes? I mean, that's how we found Viagra works for, you know, ED, for crying out loud. Like, it was never intended to be used for that intentionally, like, purpose originally. But, like, you find that a drug can work for a different purpose, right? And so it's surprising to me that we're receiving this much opposition to try to get people to help them, especially when they've been willing to try all the other drugs that they wanted, the expensive, brand new, you know, trialing those drugs. Like, why are they so willing to let everyone try those ones? But when it comes to something that we know a little bit more about or something that the people want to try, it's almost like they're not given that chance sometimes. It's really frustrating. So I would just encourage you guys to get your hands on some, even if you just want to hold on to it in case you got sick or if you want to be on it prophylactically. That way it's in your, you know, toolbox. I like to have some on hand because I use it as a prophylaxis, but I'm not selling ivermectin, okay? Like, I'm just literally trying to help people because I truly believe that there's something to this, and the science shows that. And, like, to say that it doesn't is nuts. And so here's what happened this week and why Dr. Pierre Corey was pissed on the phone call. He was pissed because the WHO came out this week that ivermectin is not an effective treatment for COVID. Right after this meta-analysis literally came out. Like, you have got to be shitting me. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't cuss a whole lot, but like, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. Y'all, like, this is absolutely unacceptable. Like, to look at this science and to just literally, like, toss it out as if this meta-analysis didn't even exist. And they did this right after this meta-analysis came out. It was like a slap in the face, right? And it's almost to the effect where, I mean, the chances of it not working is 1 in 563 trillion. Can you believe that the WHO is telling us that's not an effective treatment? Okay, like, I don't know, y'all. That's crazy to me. And meanwhile, the NIH a while back had, approved it, but it didn't approve or deny. It was just more like it made it on the same level as remdesivir and convalescent plasma. So, like, COVID-19 has been discussed as a treatment protocol. Ivermectin's been discussed as a treatment protocol, and it's on the same level as remdesivir and convalescent plasma as far as the NIH is concerned, which is the National Institutes of Health. So how come the NIH can say that it's a treatment for COVID-19, but now the WHO says, no, it's not? And, like, why would they do that, especially when they went through 49 trials, 16,000 people almost, and they proved that it basically is 1 in 563 trillion chance that it won't work? I mean, that's crazy, you guys. So that's what we're up against here in this in this fight. It's literally insane. And like I told you guys this week, it's like our governor literally came out this week and was, and I'm in Texas, y'all, but, you know, came out and said, oh, vaccines are always going to be choice. And you're like, okay, great. Like, I'm on board. Like, thank you. Because, I mean, that's our right. You know what I'm saying? Like, thanks for giving us our rights. You know, and I hope that you guys know your Constitution. I hope that you understand that, like, those rights were given to you by God and no man can take them. So I hope that you know that. But the point is that they try, they try to take it, you know, and here in Texas, we have a phrase called come and take it, which is usually in reference to our Second Amendment rights, but all the same, like, come and take it, come and make me, what are you going to do? You're going to police every single 330 million of us? Like, you guys have to have that sense of, like, we're not just going to do wrong. We're not just going to be, like, Nazis. We're not going to rat our neighbors out. Like, we're going to mind our own business. If they want to go wear a mask, let them wear a mask. If they don't want to, we're not going to tattle. Like, we're not going to go call. You guys, they literally had New Yorkers calling on each other because somebody took their dog, like, somebody went outside to take their dog for a walk to go potty. Like, they had neighbors calling on neighbors in Jersey and New York, and, like, my friends were, like, telling us, like, they would call the police to go arrest these people who were outside during, like, COVID, you know, times, and, like, they were just so nuts. It's nuts. Like, we don't need to be Gestapo. Like, we are – that is not our place. That's not our job. I mean, honest to God, if they want to be out there, let them be out there. If you're worried, then they're the ones out there. What do you care? You know, it's kind of like you went and got your vaccine. What are you worried about mine? I mean, and since when do we all need to be saying, hey, did you get your vaccine? Like, did you ask, like, hey, did you take your birth control today? I mean, is that inappropriate, okay? Like, hey, did you take your erectile dysfunction medicine today? Like, please know that nobody needs to know your private medical information, and whether or not you got the vaccine, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter, and honestly, and it shouldn't be something that we just so flippantly ask someone about. And I am literally, as a nurse, shocked at even some of my superiors who will walk into a room and be like, so did you guys all get your vaccine? And it's like, I don't have to tell you, like, whether I did or didn't is totally irrelevant to what we're doing, and it's my private medical information. I hope that you guys have that sense of feeling where you don't have to justify or defend or even say yes or no. Like, you don't have to answer questions like that when your boss asks or when your friends are asking and talking about it, unless you want to. If you want to address that question or you want to talk about it, then of course you have that freedom. That's your right. It's your information. But, like, if you don't want to, please don't just give your information out there. That's not something that's anyone else's business. They don't need to know whether or not you, you know, did or didn't take a medication today, or did or did not get an immunization, or did or did not have a medical reason of why you didn't have your mask on, or what your medical reason is, and all these different things. Because maybe you were forcibly raped and you had your hand over your nose and mouth and you can't wear a mask because it's PTSD for you. Maybe you're a veteran and you fought in a country where you had to wear a mask and you had bombs going off and you literally can't wear a mask anymore because you're so traumatized by some things you've been through. No, you don't have to defend yourself to these people, okay? Listen, you need to be empowered and you need to know that you have rights. You absolutely have rights in the hospital system, and you absolutely have rights. And if we have to start suing some of these businesses to put them in their place, then so be it. Because I'll tell you what, Houston Methodist came out this week and said, we are forcing every single employee who works for our hospital to get the vaccine. And then they kind of like threw in this little caveat, and it was like, unless they have an exemption. And I was like, not that we should have to beg you to say no, because, I mean, that's ridiculous that we have to ask the state for an exemption or ask the hospital for an exemption to which they can remove, right, which is very frustrating. So I don't like having to have an exemption, but, like, they have to provide something because, number one, this is an experimental biologic thing that we're literally testing the population, and the tests are not over yet. The tests are not over until 2022 or 2023 for the vaccines, and even then, I mean, a lot of people want to see some long-term data, not just even 2 years. They want to see 5 years, 10 years down the road. You know, are we going to be able to still have fertility? And because some people were concerned about, you know, Pfizer's vaccine being infertile. Even like the head research scientist who used to work for Pfizer has that concern. And so it's like we have all these different things going on. And just to question is like unacceptable lately. And I think that's ridiculous. We should always be able to question. We should always be able to raise our concerns, especially about something new or never been tried before or whatever. And we're all just supposed to take one for the team and just, like, hope for the best and, you know, just do what I did. You know, I got my vaccine. Did you get yours? Like, please, please, please. Like, if you want to get your vaccine, if you have been properly informed and you have full informed consent and you've researched everything, okay. Like, you know, I want you to be fully informed and to have that choice to make that decision. Whether or not I agree with you is totally irrelevant. And let me remind you, if you're a medical professional, that it doesn't matter if you agree. Okay. So like I could think a Jehovah's Witness needs a blood transfusion and I could think it's bad or wrong or whatever if he doesn't get one or that he's going to die without it. And I could give him all the reasons in the world about why he should get this blood transfusion. But at the end of the day, that choice is his. And I don't have to agree with it. It doesn't matter if I agree. It doesn't matter if I love blood transfusions, if I think, you know, he should just get one anyways because his family really needs him. It doesn't matter what I think. Okay? So, like, take yourself and your opinion out of the freaking equation. And if they want a vaccine and you're against vaccines, then it doesn't matter what you think. Like, it doesn't. As long as they're properly informed, fully informed, and I mean all the risks and all the benefits, and that's not being done a lot. Okay, so I get that. I totally get that. But if they are and they want that choice and that's what they want to do, that's them. Let them make that choice. You know, whether or not you think it's a good one is totally irrelevant. It's not your body. It's not your choice. You know, my body, my choice, right? You know, except when it's a baby because it's someone else's body. But in my opinion, and you can disagree with me on that, okay? Like at the end of the day, we all have to have you know, we all have to have that right to make those decisions if it's about our own body and or our children, like our, literally, like my child, it's going to be my choice. So I just think that you guys should go to this website, IVMmeta.com. Also check out COVID-19criticalcare.com. There's prophylaxis treatment protocols. There's early outpatient treatment. If you're exposed to COVID or if you need help, you know, if you are in the hospital and you need an advocate, you guys reach out to me, please, 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 you know, on Telegram, Lori Jean, the nurse advocate. I will definitely be able to help as much as I can. And, just keep in mind that I'm a full-time ICU nurse, so I'm working, I'm a mom, but I'm more than happy to devote some time and energy to others and, like, passing on information that I know or anything. So look at the research, look at the science. When you have something like ivermectin out there that can help with COVID, that is literally, like, 1 in 563 trillion chance that it's not going to be effective at all, like, that's really good odds. Let's go ahead and try ivermectin. I mean, it's, in my opinion, probably a better choice than an experimental biologic. In it, even though it's being tested in itself, but at least we have a lot more data from the last 30 years than we do from something that's brand new. And so if I was going to take a chance on something, I would take a chance with more data. And that's just, in my opinion, common sense. But, and I'm not insulting anyone who disagrees. I'm just saying, like, that's my opinion. And at the end of the day, I just hope that you guys are well-informed, and I hope that you guys understand that from what I've seen this week and from what I've seen since the beginning of COVID, like, I have some serious questions about the WHO. You guys, like, some serious, serious questions. And I hope you do, too. And hang on, I have another coughing fit, y'all. Anyway, so I hope that you guys have some questions, too. I hope that you guys continue to critically think. And I hope that you guys continue to fight for freedom. And I just wanted you guys to be aware of all this new information. I'm trying to be on top of it as much as possible. Excuse me. To pass on as much information as I can, as quickly as I can. Because the faster that we can massively spread this information, the better. And United States for Medical Freedom had 40,000 members, and this was right before the election happened, and they canceled our Facebook group. But one of the reasons that I think that they didn't want us is because we are such a loud voice, and it's such a fast way of sharing information. We were only 40,000 people, but we were sharing information so much. And with so much of a reach to like 100, even up to 500,000 people. So just know that we can have an impact sharing this information rapidly with lots and lots of people. And when we do that, we are literally helping, you know, the public find out information that maybe they're not getting from the news sources. Maybe they're not hearing on mainstream media, like how to boost their immune systems and what to do to prevent sickness, or how, you know, maybe if they are sick, what they can do. Like, I know so many people who have lost loved ones, and it's so heartbreaking to hear the same story, just a different family. Okay, guys, like, I'm begging you to please share this information, because what I can't stand is hearing the same thing over and over and over from state to state to state, where it's like, we got, you know, to the emergency room, and they tested positive for COVID, and then they sent them home with nothing. Or they sent them home with just steroids. And then they got worse and worse and worse. And as the days carried on, they couldn't maintain their oxygenation. And so they came back to the ER. And then some of them were sent home again and then had to go back again. And so it's like 2 and 3 times having to go back to the ER until they were so sick that they were ventilated. And even then, you know, here, you know, X, Y, and Z, we tried to bring up ivermectin. They said no, or whatever the situation is. Maybe they didn't even know about ivermectin. You know what I'm saying? Like, it goes both ways. But at the end of the day, like, they didn't know to go home and try ivermectin to help before they even come back to the hospital. Instead of just being sent home on just steroids, like, they could have sent them home on other things too. But they're just, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's about money. I don't know if it's about, you know, access to meds. I don't think so. It's cheap. Ivermectin is cheap, y'all. And some of these other treatments are very expensive, and they're new versus like something that's not new. And I don't know what's going on. All I can tell you is that if these people would have been told that maybe that could be something that might help them, just even like a little whisper or a word about it, like, hey, I want to check into ivermectin just in case, because it's really been helping some people. It doesn't mean it's going to help all people. It just means it might help them. And so, like, passing on that word is like passing on a good movie or a restaurant where you're like, hey, I went to eat at this place last week and it was amazing. Like, you should totally try it. Or I saw this good movie and it was awesome. Like, this has literally saved people's lives. Okay. I literally have seen it happen over and over again, not just one time. And I hope that you guys understand that you literally might save someone's life by sharing this information, okay? Like, within the past week, one of my best friends ended up 80% oxygen in the hospital. The second she left the hospital on her steroids, I said, you need to get ivermectin. And she was like, why? I mean, she's like, I don't even think I have COVID. I'm like, I do think you have COVID, and you need to get on ivermectin. I'm like, even if you don't have it, the worst thing you could be on is the prophylaxis. honest to God, like you have a lung infection, you had oxygenation issues, you have something going on that it can help, because it can help in many different viruses. It actually helps influenza and pneumonia and COVID and other things. Scabies and all sorts of things. Like, you guys, it's just, I think it's great. I don't think it can be used for the rest of our lives forever and ever, amen, but I do think for a time, and I do think it's been shown to be effective in this, and I do think that there's something shady going on where the WHO is not wanting us to see the actual science. I don't know why, and I'm just here to speak the truth, okay? And I'm going to get off of here because I know it's Eastern. Y'all have hung with me. I'm so sorry. But so go to IVM. Meta, IVMMETA.com. Also check out COVID19criticalcare.com. If you need help, if you want to talk about Jesus, if you want to talk about religions, if you want to, you know, find some peace in this chaos, reach out to me. If you want to talk about ivermectin, if you need an advocate, if you, you know, if you just want to share your story, if you have a friend who's sick or something and they need a doctor who's willing to help them get access to this medication, you know, and they want to do a telehealth visit or something like that, we know doctors who will help, okay? So please, please, please reach out to United States for Medical Freedom. Reach out to Lori Jean, the nurse advocate, on Telegram. Please go download Telegram. You know, I even have Signal. I have, you know, I don't have Messenger. I don't have Facebook because they deleted me. I have a MeWe group, United States for Medical Freedom, at Lori Jean on MeWe. I've got a Gab, like all these different ways you can try to contact me. Please, please, please reach out to me, and I will do anything I can to help you. I'm so glad that you guys joined us for Dangerous Freedom. I hope that you know your rights, and I hope that you will stand by them and you'll fight for them, because this is about our kids. This is about our legacy that we are leaving behind, and fighting for this American dream and these freedoms that we've always known is going to go away faster than you can ever imagine if we don't take a stand. We are the resistance. We absolutely are. And if we don't stop them, you know, if we don't stop things now, it will cross the threshold that we can never get back. So we have to take a stand. And I hope that you guys are willing to stand and fight with me for this freedom that has never been free. It's always cost something. And, you know, my great-grandfather and my grandfather both fought in the World Wars, World War One and World War Two, respectively, great-grandfather World War One, grandfather World War Two, and they did not fight, you know, for our freedom just so we would just turn it over, okay? Like, they did not, and we absolutely are on the front lines right now. We all are, and so just keep, you know, keep that freedom fighter spirit in you guys and raise that up in your kids. You know, the Bible says to train your kids in the way they should go, and they should go in the way of freedom. That is what Jesus came to bring us, is freedom. So I love you guys so much. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your Easter night, and I hope that you guys go and kiss your kids, enjoy your family, and please bring hope to someone this week. Please bring hope. We need more light, more hope, and more encouragement, empowering people, educating people. Pass along this information. It literally might save someone's life, please. I love you guys so much. I'll see you next Sunday night. All right. Thanks for joining us on Dangerous Freedom. Bye-bye.